5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Earth below us, drifting, falling, flow.
Welcome to AnnaZone 23, where we look at old anime, especially movies and OVAs. These are the films and projects that help shape the anime landscape as we know it today. We want to look at them in their own era and how they were the inspiration for many of the shows and franchises that are popular today. Some have become legends, while others have been deservedly forgotten. All of them, you should remind yourself, someone had to draw that.
Thanks, Major Tom.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of AnnaZone 23. Once again, I'm your host, Rick.
Drew.
And on this week, we are going to be looking at one of the first shoujo anime that really came over to the United States. And it's not one that you would expect if you're familiar with, if you're only semi-familiar with shoujo. And that is Here is Greenwood, which is from, which is originally the manga, started in 1987.
And soon became an six-volume OVA in the early 90s. It made it over to the U.S. by about 94, 95. 10 years later, Viz finally got around to printing up the manga, and which is now out of print and hard as heck to find. It's actually probably much easier to find the video. And then in 2008, they did a live-action drama of it, which is something that has never been subbed or moved into the U.S., so you might find it in your Asian grocery store.
The story behind this one's a little interesting. I just because of that whole thing. Because one of the things to note about with the manga coming later, a lot of you might be going, well, wait a minute, wasn't manga usually come first? And yeah, it does. But anime hit the US a lot quicker than manga did. And we've kind of discussed this before in private, about our or in person, you know, off the show about, for example, Ranma. I actually just got my Ranma volumes back from my parents, by the way. And comparing with the Ranma volumes that you have, for example, where they are all in American comic book format, I have a lot of maybe our younger listeners, anyone listening who's younger, you know, has only gotten in maybe the last few years or in early college, something like that. When you see manga nowadays, it is presented as it is in Japan. The only difference being that it has been translated from Japanese into English, but you still read it right to left. When I first got started with anime, now I can actually say I'm old, they were in the Tankobon volumes, you know, the novel sized books that we're used to today, but they were flipped. You read them left to right as you would with an English comic.
And they were usually slightly different size than the Japanese edition.
A little bit bigger. I think manga's gotten a little bit smaller. I swear some of my newer manga that I've gotten are a little bit scaled down compared to my older manga that I have. But that's nothing in terms of size as what you have in terms of Ranma, where it's a full blown, like American comic format, like an 8.5 by 11 piece, as opposed to what is, I've got one here, like 4.5, 5 inch by like 7 inch.
Yeah. It's standard American. It's not 8.5 by 11. 8.5 by 11 is magazine size.
Or would it be, I guess it would be probably what,
5.5 by 8.
5.5 by 8.
I think it's 6.5 or 5.5 by 8 is the standard comic book size.
American comic books that are easily reachable, and unfortunately, I do not.
Basically, they came out originally in flipped American comic styles monthly, and then they were collected into separate square bound volumes that were slightly smaller, but still larger than a Japanese size. We have the people who did Sailor Moon originally are the ones that introduced the use the Japanese size and don't pay to flip it model. And by doing that, they cut the price about in half, which caused a major explosion in sales. Because an old Rama volume was about $16 in the early 90s.
Yeah, and luckily that dropped by the time I was buying. I think on my manga I have... actually have the price on the back. I think they were $10 a volume.
Usually then. $10, $8 if you could find them for sale. Tokyo Pop was the one that basically moved everything over to the Japanese standard.
Yeah, that's actually what I have in front of me is I have the first volume of Gundam Seed Astray from Tokyo Pop, sitting right on my desk.
Yeah, and that was, they were the ones that ran that particular size. The other thing that makes Kokowa Greenwood, Here's Greenwood, interesting is, while it is a shoujo story, the most of the major characters are male, and it's focused on male characters. And there is a shoujo eye couple, but they're very minor, and they're only in the, really in the manga. In fact, the author uses the highly permeable fourth wall to tease the readers who are shipping certain of her major characters. So, Kokowa Greenwood is essentially a dormitory story.
Yeah, now it's a story. This is one, I'm going to cut you off there for a second, because I want to say this before we get too much into the discussion of the series itself. Folks, this is going to be Drew's wheelhouse today, because I watched this series, it's only six episodes. I watched it twice. The equivalent of watching one modern TV series through all the way. Well, one season all the way. And I'm going to be honest, it's not that I enjoyed the show. But when you have delved as much into the more modern stuff, and even not even the modern stuff, but even stuff from like 10 years ago, you know, the era when I was really, you know, kind of diving deep into the fandom, or the anime fandom, like you read some of like the at the time reviews or synopsis of Greenwood's, it's like, oh, it's wacky, you know, shenanigans, and it is, but it went from being like out there, kind of not out there, but like, I'd say almost like Animal House kind of wacky.
Yeah.
But when you compare it to the stuff now, Greenwood's rather tame. Still wacky, but the scary thing is it can be relatable at the same time.
Well, it was always relatable, but yes, the level of wackiness that manga has generally encouraged in this type of story has definitely gone up. I mean, if you draw a line between Maison and Cocoon through Greenwood to Honey and Clover, things are already getting weird. And yeah, it's gotten a lot weirder since Honey and Clover. This is the, you know, early voice. I think it's been copied a number of times, but it's very definitely a originator more than a paragon of something. Now, as I said, this is a story centered around guys at a live-in dormitory high school in Tokyo, which is the Rokuto Academy, but specifically it's the guys that live in the, some guys live in Greater Tokyo and commute to school. The guys that the story is about are the residents of Rokurin-yo, which is the on-site dormitory for the academy, which carries the nickname of Greenwood, as in gone to the Greenwood, as in the place where the outlaws and the ne'er-do-wells dwell. Think Robin Hood and his Merry Men.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's also interesting in that the two, quote, two most cool characters are not the leads.
No, the leads are...
Are lead, because it's really a one-man lead.
It's true, it is really... I wouldn't say it's a one-man show, but there is definitely a, I would say, POV character.
Yes. Kazuya Hasakawa, our earnest young man, who is arriving to the Greenwood after he's put himself through hell to get into it. It's a, you know, pretty exclusive private school, just like his older brother. He's 2 weeks late because he basically made himself sick working so hard, gave himself an ulcer. There are other reasons that he's made himself sick, but we'll get to them in a minute. And he's promptly introduced to the two coolest guys in the dorm. We're roommates. One of them's the dorm head. And his name is Mitsuru Ikeda, or just Mitsuru. And he's, you know, the cool, tough guy, deals with everything. And then there's Shinobu Tezuka. And Shinobu is the student body president, and he's one of those he's the original student body president who really runs the entire damn school. But quietly. Like a mafia don. Not like the outrageous ones you'll see further down the road.
Or even a couple of them, like, well, he's kind of a, I'd say, when you look at it, you kind of can take him as one of two types of runs the school. The interesting thing is that most of the, you know, student body president type characters that came after him almost seem to take more of Mendo from Urusei Yatsura's.
Tend to be even more overtly rich. Like Shinobu is definitely from a wealthy family, but Shinobu is kind of, on his own, is pretty immoral. Yeah. And sneaky as heck. And basically, Mitsuru and Shinobu are like, oh, it's good to see you. And souls are very thin, and we better not hear anything, or things will happen to you. So, the end of the manga, Arcasia, trying to blend into his new demanding school, and all the weird people that live in this dormitory, besides the guys that he lives right next to, and the one he lives with. And there's one group of very religious, very evangelical cultists, we'd say. They manga translation as, oh God, please don't boil us.
They're I'd almost say evangelicals, but
I'd say cultists would probably be a better description.
Cultists is a good description for that.
There's two guys that have turned their entire dorm room into an arcade, which means they basically sleep in the closet, because as far as they're concerned, it's all about making money.
Yeah.
There's the guy who keeps his motorcycle in his dorm room and carries it up on his shoulder. He's immense. There's the token yaoi couple, but we won't meet them for a while. We really don't meet them in the anime. They're mostly a manga character. Because despite fans shipping Mitsuru and Shinobu, they are not like that. Although Shinobu once said he loved Mitsuru, Mitsuru immediately looked at him and said, you just said that to make the readers excited.
Yeah, that's one thing that it does have a tendency to break the fourth wall.
The fourth wall is very permeable.
Another thing I find interesting is that the dormitory is apparently a former insane asylum.
It's haunted, at the very least.
Yes, we'll find that out later.
Yes, yeah, so we find out that it's, we know that it's haunted. We just don't know by how many different types of ghosts. Anyway, about 4 days in, Kazuya is discovering just how shooken up and messed up he is. And he's starting to adjust. He's doing this in front of the urinals in the community bathroom. And his roommate Shun, you know, says, okay, hey, buck up, and walks away. And then at this point, Kazuya realizes that Shun has been using the urinal. And chases him down through the hallway and catches him and demands to see what he obviously is supposed to happen. At which point we discover that Shun just looks really feminine.
Yeah.
Him and his brother have occasionally been dressed female. Their family owns a number of fancy inns. And it's just the way he looks. And there was a betting pool for how many days it would take him to figure this out.
It takes 3, if I remember correctly.
I believe it's just short of 4 days. At which point, our hero punches Mitsuru in the face. Mitsuru's only comment is, that was a good punch. I think I like this guy. And this will develop the second chain of the story, which is Mitsuru, who is the coolest guy in the school, is going to make Kazuya into his protege. He's going to Dread Pirate Roberts him, basically. he's going to make Kazuya the new dorm head for next year. And teach him to deal with all kinds of difficulties, like flipping out when your tutor marries your brother, mm-hmm. which is what put him in the hospital in the first place.
The tutor that he had a crush on himself.
Yes. And his brother happens to work as the school nurse. Which is... And his brother, remember, they have no parents at this point. His brother is his parental unit. His brother is like, oh, it's a nice, comfortable job. It's like, you got such a good education and you're wasting it away here. It's like, I like it here. And Shinobu and Mitsuru often tell him, you're really cruel to him. He's like, yes, but he's so fun to tease. Something they generally agree with, too, because Kazuya is a lot of fun to tease.
He's and an easy target.
He's a very easy target. He is so sincere. He has a few good points. Again, he's a real warrior for justice type. He will do the right thing no matter what it does to him. He's fast. He has sprinter speed. And no consideration for his own health. Famously wins the, pretty much single-handedly wins the relay race in the manga. And promptly passes out at the end of it because he ran himself into the ground. That's just how he is. But the first episode is getting to know the dorm. And all the weirdos in the dorm. And that's pretty much it. The second episode is actually chronologically between the fifth and the sixth episode. But they move it to the second episode because they wanted to have an ensemble episode. In this case, we meet... It's a video original story, but it's essentially a sequel to a manga story that they didn't animate, which they tell you because the fourth wall is entirely permeable.
Yeah, that was the thing that made me go, wait, really? Like, I had to look it up because I'm like, okay, that's just bizarre.
Well, the original the story concerns Shinobu's sister, and like all rich guys, he has a sister who's even weirder than he is.
Gee, just like a certain rich guy from another series that we had covered.
Yes.
In the series.
And in the original story, she kidnapped Mitsuru, which set Shinobu off. In this one, well, she kidnaps Shun's little brother, who looks just as feminine as he does. Complications and hilarity ensue. Meanwhile, Shinobu is refusing to get excited about anything and is pissing her off to no end.
By the way, I do have to say it's a nice touch for Nagisa's goons.
What are the A's? Yes.
That was a popular joke back in the late 80s.
Yes. Well, it kind of works. It works all the time because, you know, that's just... They're faceless minions. That's all they are.
It seems like it was about as common in the late 80s as the using the Japanese word for stare has become in the late 2010s in anime. Where, you know, up until about 2013, when a character stared at somebody in a comedy show, they would just stare at them. But now they go, gee. And the subtitle will just say stare.
Yeah.
I've yet to actually watch any shows where that was a joke that has been dubbed. So I don't know if they just put in, if they just have the voice actor dubbing it go stare. I'm not sure if it would work quite as well, but
they might come up with something like that.
That one was interesting. I do like that. Well, that's the thing that for me that kind of threw me when that was the joke is, like Shun, I'm like, okay, that's a name I've heard male characters be given before. Rain is a little bit of a different name.
Rain is an odd name, but Rain is a common. Rain is unisex.
Yeah, Rain is unisex.
And Na is another form of scent of. Ka and Na are pretty interchangeable in that way. So it's a standard suffix for a lot of prequel names.
Yeah, because I've seen Reyna be used before for like female characters.
Mm-hmm. Well, remember, Shinobu is a fairly common female name too. It just means patience. It's literally patience, the virtue as it is. But there are some.
Because when I hear the term Reyna, I think of the trumpet player from Sound Euphonium.
Well, there you are. But Nagisa is very much a that's an evil big sister name if ever there was one.
Yes, that very very much so. If not evil big sister, then a Hime.
Yes, yeah, it's Hime, who could be an evil big sister.
Could be.
There's a fair amount of overlap in all of these.
Might just be an annoying classmate.
Yes. Now the next two episodes are one-offs. One of them is about a ghost and
Episode three is the hey, let's make a movie.
Yeah,
and I'm like, it's like that was probably the most relatable one for me because I've done that. No, it wasn't high school. I did that. So,
thank God, college.
None of those videos have ever seen the light of day.
Thank God. Yeah, I've done a little bit of that too, and it's also good because it gives you a chance to see everybody trying to put on as being somebody else, mm-hmm. which of course means that Mitsuru is playing the hero, and which our hero Kazuya is playing his squire slash butt monkey. Come along, Patsy. Yes, he's basically playing Patsy, and Shinobu's playing the villain because of course he is. And everybody else slides into their usual roles. Kazuya's former crush, now sister-in-law, is the queen. Because, of course, she is. And, well, certain other. Shun shows up eventually, only when it's Shun, funny.
Yeah, Shun shows up exactly for what you think he's going to be used for,
or exactly
which is the guys can't get a girl to play the princess.
Of course not. Actually, he plays
all the girls basically go, no way, you're a bunch of losers.
Yeah, well, they also get a good look at it. It's like, do we get to hang out with Mitsuru? Because Mitsuru has fans, and there's also a group of junior high girls that always make it an effort to touch all the freshman boys. Not in any dirty way. They just run by and tap them all over.
Yeah, it's...
it's one of those weird little things.
Weird, odd thing, oddities.
In the manga, they later get a foreign student added to it when our hero takes over for Mitsuru as the dorm head. Kazuya gets to take over as dorm head, and at that point they have a foreign student, and then they really go to town on him. They say it's like skeletonizing a cow. Like a herd of like a pack of piranhas.
For me, one of the things honestly that stood out the most about this was at the very end.
Oh, the very end, you always gotta show that because the thing is, they go through all this effort to make this fantasy movie. It's here is Devilwood.
Yeah.
With very, all the special effects that you can manage in the late 80s with a cheap computer, with a decent computer and a videotape camera.
Which, by the way, I did appreciate the era of who's using the terminal? Because there's only one computer in the dorm.
Pretty much. And then they go through all that effort and they don't win.
Nope.
And the thing is, it doesn't come out, but Shun is in a different homeroom class than Kazuya and company. So his class is the class that actually won the competition. And we get to see their little playlet. And it's darling.
It's so what it is it's one of those weird plays where you watch the play from above because it's all taking place on the floor.
Yep. They got that when they have special effects and everything. And if you're an anime fan or if you followed our podcast, you've probably seen this scene before. Yes. We're not going to tell you what it is because everybody should have a couple of surprises in their lives.
What just amazes me is how close it is recreated.
It's a wondrous bit of recreation. They definitely deserve to win. And then the fourth episode is a one-off about a ghost.
A new ghost.
A new ghost. Yes, there are ghosts. Greenwood has ghosts. Oh, gads, how's it? You know, I can't remember the Woodhouse quote, but Greenwood has ghosts aplenty for all sorts of things. But this particular ghost is a pretty high school aged, probably say ninth 16. Grade. Yeah, 16-year-old girl.
Or at least in the dub, she stated to be 16.
Yeah, she looks about 16, 15 or 16. You know, right in first crush land.
Yeah, exactly.
And for whatever reason, as I recall, she was thinking about Mitsuru and got hit by a car or something like that. It was something goofy.
Think that's what it was?
I think that's what it is. I'm not 100% sure. But for various reasons, she's decided to haunt Mitsuru.
Well, it's also a case of you can never be quite sure with her because she says there's a few things where she goes on and says that and they're like, really? And she's like, nah, I was just messing with you.
Yeah. She's not entirely truthful either. And it's basically an ongoing thing because she wants to kiss him, which means they're under ghost rules. This was actually done, I think, before the movie Ghost, where she has to possess somebody. And Shinobu is definitely not going to let her possess him, because this isn't one of those type of shoujo shows, as we said.
Yeah, it's not. It's absolutely not. It's interesting, though. I will say that.
It is
this one caught my attention. This is probably the one that had my attention the most.
Because it has the requisite Greenwood goofiness. There's another episode in the manga where Shinobu is haunted by a Terminator type duplicate of himself made from chocolate, which gives you an idea of how odd the series is.
That is not covered in the OVA.
That one's not covered in the OVA, but that's that gives you an idea of how, you know, they put in some weird episodes, but they had weirder ones in reserve if they'd wanted
to. The weirdest one is probably the ghost one isn't the weirdest one. The sister one is the weirdest one.
The sister one is the weirdest one, and it's, as I said, it's a loose remake of an episode they actually mentioned as happening.
Well, sequel.
Sequel. And then the interesting thing is that the last two episodes, which are bisected by the second episode, this was also before Pulp Fiction, doing episodes out of order. Because the fifth episode has the second episode between it and the sixth episode. And that is a story from later on in the manga. This is the second year. By this point, Kazuya is the dorm head. Mitsuru is working his way towards graduation, so he's a senior. He doesn't get to do jobs. Shinobu is still the power behind the student council.
He's just not officially.
Yes, on the student council.
It's like one of those cases that you sometimes see in some more modern ones where it's like, you know, the president graduates, but they're still the current president is still deferring to them for what to do.
Yes, there is an episode in the manga where a young school reporter character decides to find the dirt on Shinobu and expose him, ends up kneeling before Shinobu and asking to become his disciple. It's also called Noblesse Oblige in the original Japanese, or rather in French in the original Japanese. What like, translation?
What I do like about the Ghost episode, by the way, is the gag at the very end. Where it's like, yes. Oh, good, we did what we needed to do, and she passed on to the next world, and then she just comes through the walls like, hi, I brought friends.
Yes. Because nobody ever gets tired of Greenwood. And the fifth episode starts with...
It's the first part of a two-part story arc.
It's a two-part story arc, which is, as I said, bisected by the second episode, because it's over, spread over a very long period of time. And it's essentially the climax of the manga as well, but not the end of the manga.
That's what I was reading. It's the climax. It's not the falling action.
They had a good number of episodes left in the manga after this one wrapped up, including one where Kazuya fell off a ladder and landed in an alternate version of Greenwood called Cherrywood, where everybody was female.
And he was still abused.
And he still abused the heck out of him.
He's still yes. The bag.
And that was interesting because Shun was not Shun in that one. It was his baby sister's name. She says, Shun's my little brother. But the others all had the same names because they're all more or less.
Yeah.
Like a lot of Japanese names, they're kind of unisex. But the first episode, the fifth episode starts with a very loud delinquent girl demanding entrance to Greenwood and discovering that the dorm head woman is a rather formidable roadblock.
I do want to point out that we do meet the dorm mom or marm in the Ghost episode.
That's right. She's very laid back about the whole thing.
Because she sees this 16-year-old girl sitting in the lunchroom or in the dining hall. She comes over and she's like, you can't be here. And then goes to like grab her.
Yeah. It's good.
Arms and go she's like, her. Oh, you're a ghost. Never mind.
Studies.
Yes. She's like, all right, what do you got to do?
Yeah. It's that kind of show, folks. But in this case, yeah, the girl that shows up is somebody that Mitsuru knew at his old school. Because Mitsuru has a kind of shaky background. Or at least shaky for 80s Japan. Like, he might have run with some people that stayed out a little bit too late, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not talking, the Sharks and the Jets would have giggled at him. You know, we're not talking, Tong Gang or anything like that, or even Low Red Yakuza. But this girl, his kohai, as they say, who is Mia Igarashi, or just Mia. Igarashi means 50 storms, by the way, which is an appropriate name.
Yeah, they just end up calling her Miss Igarashi during most of
this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of the story. And she is one of those.
Or Maya for some reason in the dub. I'm not 100%.
The dub might have gone with Maya. It's actually Mia. But Mia Maya, that's, you know, Maya's a much more standard name, and they might have changed it. But she's basically one of those people who's a little bit too trusting of others and ends up getting stuck with all the crappy things. And in this case, she's gotten herself followed by a bunch of girl gangs, even though she technically doesn't have a gang.
Yeah, and I found that kind of interesting.
This is, you know, and it's treated with all the seriousness only Kimigiri Orange Road treats its delinquents with more seriousness than Greenwood. Because it's always fun to watch classic Japanese 80s manga and anime, and they treat, you know, their gangs like they're really serious. For real fun, watch Skeiban Deka. And then they really take it seriously. But here, it's still taken very seriously, even though the story is kind of a bit. And Mitsuru is like, what the heck are you doing? You know, why'd you make the big production there? Now the dorm mom is pissed off. We can't hardly pull off anything. And at this point, our hero is still got his white knight pants on. And Kazuya has pointed out, and you made me the dorm head. So it's decided that he agrees to offer her shelter for the night. Which means that she ends up sleeping in his room, where he and Mitsuru share the Kotetsu heated table.
Yeah.
They don't bother guarding the door because...
I like how Shun goes out and goes, why do I have to leave my room?
Yes. And then the other guys in the dorm who know about it are like, don't worry, none of us are going to make a pass at her. She's too scary.
Yeah. Because Mitsuru is he's sitting in front of the door, if I remember correctly.
Originally, Kazuya is sitting in front of the door. And they're like, it's Kazuya. And he ends up going back in and sleeping under the Kotetsu along with Mitsuru. And they manage to slip her out of the dorm the next day, but there's a rumble coming. And Mitsuru has agreed to help out on this, and Kazuya is worried all day about it, but he's not doing anything about it until he comes back. He's like, wait a minute, Mitsuru is supposed to meet up with us and, you know, help and go meet with her and help her out and everything. And he checks back at the dorm, and Shinobu says, if you're looking for the idiot who caught a cold and passed out in third period, he's right there. And Mitsuru is sitting there in his bed under the weather with a nasty cold. He's much taller than our hero, and he did not get very warm under the Kotetsu, apparently. But he rallies, and he agrees to go out, and they're deciding to head to the fight. And at this point, Mitsuru shows up to help in a dress, because it's funny, and because he would lose all kinds of face for trying to help out a girl gang fight if they knew her as a guy, which is subverted because the other girl gang brought guys.
I was looking at the TV tropes earlier today, and what was the term they called that? They called it an army of thieves, and
thieves and whores. Because, yeah, Mitsuru is sitting there next to Mia, like, great, I gotta fight. I can't fight three guys in a dress with a cold. I don't have it.
That wasn't one of your things, was it?
No, I didn't put the army of thieves and whores. Okay. I put in a couple of the other ones are mine, but that one is not. Because I did write a fair amount of that article, but not the main description. I did write the bit about Cherrywood. That is me.
I did read that one.
Yeah. But yeah, it's looking like Custer's Last Stand, and then a motorbike blows by at about 80 miles an hour.
Unlike a lot of the other series that we've watched for this series, this is one of the few ones where I've actually had to pull up the TV tropes page because, well, I guess this is a good way to sort of, transition into this one. Mm-hmm. is its impact, because Greenwood, despite the internet being a place where you can find all kinds of information, it's not easy to find stuff on this series.
It's like, never had a major,
exists, you know that you can get a little bit about it, but that's about it. There's not a lot of, you know, there's not a lot of, I wasn't able to find a lot of interesting, you know.
It's a little too shoujo for the shonen boys, and it's not yaoi enough for the shoujo crowd.
Or, and it doesn't have some of the other shoujo stuff that you're used to having either.
Yeah, it's a shoujo show about boys that doesn't have any boys' love hardly in it. So it kind of, and then the guys are often like, well, I'm not going to watch a shoujo show, even if it is set in, you know, even if it is Animal House shoujo. Okay, it's not quite Animal House, but it's standard teen comedy stuff.
It's almost like a late 2000s, early 2010s, like Nickelodeon sitcom, but yeah, aimed at high schoolers, I would say.
Yeah, maybe Saved by the Bell.
Something
along those lines.
I was thinking more along the lines of for maybe some of the other ones, things, because I just watched, because I'm a crazy person, I just watched a 12-hour series of videos on iCarly and Victorious. One of those, I was thinking like that, or like Drake and Josh would be another one. That would be like that kind of show.
And that's about where it fits in. It fits in the zany school trope.
Yeah.
As somebody went to a school with a lot of zany roommates and floor mates, I was right at home. I spent my first 2 years at Northeast Missouri State, which was also called Truman State, which was a small liberal arts school full of some of the brightest flakes you have ever met in your life. Nothing much that happens in Greenwood surprised me.
Not a whole lot that happens in Greenwood surprised me, and I went to a big school.
Yeah. Well, Ohio State is a little bit different. We were a little quirkier.
Well, at least it wasn't there. I don't know about now.
Yeah, well, we were pretty quirky. We did, you know, we did things. We, like, picked up guys that fell asleep in the TV room and carried them into other people's beds. Don't be a sound sleeper in our dorm. You never know where you'll wake up.
That reminds me of a few different organizations that I was loosely affiliated with back in college.
Your merry band?
Yeah, my second merry band, more so than the first merry band.
I
GTFO'd pretty quickly. Mm. Although the band that came after that was also pretty goofy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of that.
What with Greenwood was really kind of like, what is it that makes
it? Well, the other thing that it has is it has an interesting love story through the fifth and sixth episodes. Because, of course, the hero is quite smitten with Mia, and she already has a boyfriend. Because her parents sort of, her mom insists that she does. And that is basically assigned one of the neighbor boys as her protector. And he's a nice, terrible person, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
He's the kind of smothering niceness that seems so nice to parents and everything and will absolutely destroy a person. Mm-hmm. And the author seems to know this. But nobody much else does. They are very you know, like, oh, he's such a nice boy and he's always there, and it's like, yeah, and he also treats her like she's 5 years old. And halfway between infantilizes her and negs her the whole way. So
I know exactly what kind of person.
Yeah, that is the kind of guy that Tenma is. He's a, quote, nice guy who's been appointed her, quote, boyfriend, pretty much. So it's a case of, hey, what crazy stuff will Kazuya do to try to get to see Mia And what will Mia do to meet him at least a third of the way? Because the important thing is, it sometimes verges into stalking, but it's mostly because she has to make anything work. She has to make a move. She has to make a decision, which is going to make her home life absolutely miserable for the short term. And, you know, it's a leap of faith. And that love story bit in the fifth and sixth volume is probably what Greenwood is most remembered for. And it's why they set up the way the story is the way they did, so that it climaxed on its climax, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's very interesting, almost stalking, but it's like, it's not really stalking. It's, you know, it's almost like they're trying to hide her. And in fact, Tenma is trying to hide her. he looks so nice, and he's really not. So I don't know what a female viewer would have on it, but it's definitely got some real depth in certain of the characters.
Unfortunately, it's kind of hard to find nowadays.
Yeah, the video is was in print for decades, so you could probably find it for not too much over base price. Finding the manga, oh my gosh. I've got a full run of it. You're not getting mine. Getting the manga would be a real trick, because Viz is terrible about reprinting stuff.
It looks like Right Stuff has it for... It just price dropped.
It did.
$13.24.
See, it's cheap. That's the whole thing. You get the whole, you know, three discs of story for $13.
Oh, wow. If you can read Japanese, you can get a complete run for it for $92 on eBay.
Of the manga or the...
Manga.
$92?
All 11 volumes.
Volumes. Were there 11? I think there were 11.
I'm looking at 11 volumes of manga right here.
Okay, well, like I said, I have the Japanese. I have the English. I don't think I have but one or two of the Japanese issues. I don't think I have the full...
For like the English ones, I'm looking at them. I found volume 2 for like $5 on eBay. I found volume 4 for $57 on eBay.
If you look in half-price books long enough, it'll show up there occasionally.
As long as they were all Viz.
Yeah, and like you said, Viz doesn't keep stuff in print very much.
Wow, if you're willing to drop about anywhere from $80 to $120, it's actually not that hard, apparently, to find complete runs of the Japanese set.
Yeah, well, it was much more popular in Japan.
Yeah.
Than it ever was in the U.S., and it's probably been back in print several times, because as I said, they made a live-action version of it 20 years after it was made. Things don't get remade as live-action in 20 years if they didn't have a pretty big impression the first time out.
Or an executive with a...
with a fond memory.
With a fond memory.
Yeah, but apparently the drama did well enough. It's not... I have it, actually, but not translated. But since I know the stories, it's not very hard to follow.
Mm-hmm.
If you know a little Japanese. He's sitting over there. But yeah, it's a fun little... It's a quirky little series about school life, basically. School life and growing up. And all the heartbreaks and weird stuff. And it's... But it definitely has... It has lots of elements of pre-bubble economy Japan. This one and Kimigori Orange Road are... Along with Megazone 2-3... All... Orange Road in this one aimed at one age group, and 2-3 aimed at a little bit older, mm-hmm. are very much the shows of pre-bubble Japan. You know, we are the chosen generation. We can do anything. We can do amazing things. Amazing things will happen to us.
And you can kind of feel that a little bit with Kimiguri, and especially with this one. There's a confidence there.
This one, both treat delinquents so with total seriousness, which makes them funnier.
Yeah, there's a confidence to all of the characters in the show about just life in general, both in Greenwood and also in Kimiguri. Not so much Zone 2-3, but that's a different story.
Yeah, that's a little different story. Well, that's because they find out more sooner.
So I think that about wraps up our discussion on Here is Greenwood, a little bit of a shorter one. Come back. We are going to be releasing an episode on Christmas Day, where we are going to be jumping way ahead, probably the furthest we've ever gone in terms of a series. And we're going to be talking about the first 4 episodes of Gunslinger Girl.
Especially episode 4, because it is set on and around Christmas.
It will probably be the least Christmassy Christmas episode we've ever Christmased. I mean, done.
Yes. Well, it's very... we haven't done a Christmas episode yet.
No, we did.
Oh, that's...
We did.
Oh, that's right, because we did Oh My Goddess.
We did Oh My Goddess last year.
Yeah.
And, well, but with that, I'm going to say I've been Rick.
I've been Drew.
And just remember, someone had to draw that.
Me, I'm just a poor boy from across the far.